Before, calls back to order, before we get into DocuWare, are you ready to do the executive minutes? Or are they waiting on those?
No, they're not waiting on those.
They're not waiting?
No.
Okay. Let's do DocuWare then.
Let me do a little prelude. I put on the agenda, I've been talking to Bob, Melissa, and Gary about this specific application with the DocuWare that, so they'll explain it, then I can kind of summarize at the end. How's that?
Robert Dixon, Recorder of Deeds. Wanted to talk to you just a few minutes to give you a little background on DocuWare, where DocuWare came from, and what we use it for today. DocuWare was purchased by the Recorder's Office about 3 years ago as a secondary system, and we have two primary systems. DocuWare is a secondary. Gary had come to me a couple years ago and said that the county system that they had at that point in time was getting old, was not being maintained anymore. They couldn't get people to work on it. And I said, well, I had the DocuWare system that was bought for the Recorder's Office, and I paid $13,000, if I remember correctly, for that system. I told him if it was usable for the county, it belonged to the taxpayers, and I didn't need control of it. So basically turned DocuWare system over to the county, which is the county's primary system today. We've bought several user modules, which means we have licenses to use the DocuWare system. And what we're going to talk to you today about is an add-on system. Melissa will probably be doing that. That is the origin of DocuWare and how DocuWare came to be. And it's used today by planning and zoning. I have all my plats, surveys, and everything that's out there to countywide on the Internet, which is free. And there's over 300 subscribers to it. That is also planning and zoning. Road and Bridge has it. The assessment office has it. You can address what it's used for today.
So as Melissa's coming up here, a couple of things that the benefit, so you guys kind of know where we're coming from. From a GCR budgeting-wise, I'm not going to be asking for very much money at all relatively to the whole scope. It's more of where it takes, it starts directing the county to be more productive, less paper, and ultimately less man hours over time. So it'll position the county in a better position from a paperless environment. As if you remember last year when we started buying copiers, we started getting copiers with scanner features because it was just great to scan in documents. This ties into that also. So this is kind of the application that works with the scanners that we already have at a lot of the offices.
I mean, you've already made a statement that is the most important statement of the whole deal is the amount of money. And I can see with the people that have recommended and talked about that I'm an improver. Approval of it, I just need to know the dollars.
Oh, it's not much. It's less than $2,000, but well, go ahead. Go ahead, Melissa.
We are interested, and the Recorder's Office has agreed to purchase another module. The module will allow, it's called a workflow module. Basically, it allows us to direct these images, which is what DocuWare is. It's just an image with an index where we're able to find it on the computer by typing in a name, something along those lines. It's easy to find the images that we want to find. The workflow module will allow us to direct this to different offices. For example, the Recorder's Office puts in subdivisions and plats, images of these things. I believe Eddie had mentioned at one time that he doesn't get the new copies. This would allow us to direct the new plats and surveys down to Eddie, and he could see them. He could see the brand new ones. We are interested in having a couple of test offices. Basically, we would like to start with a couple of offices and see if we could work out any kinks, see if we could go paperless in just a couple of offices with a couple of flows that we already have. You know, we have people like the clerk's office, taking paper up to the commission's office all the time, or sending you guys emails. That's basically what we're looking for. The only thing we really need are some desktop scanners.
So let me kind of explain a little bit, as Melissa, and she'll chime in here. What we're talking about is an automatic workflow module, which what does, I'll give you an example. Say that Road and Bridge gets a petition for a road, okay? Often, they want to send it to our office to see us review it, okay, before we put it on the agenda. It actually, you can do what's called electronic signature, saying you reviewed it. It doesn't affect the original document, but what it does is, it, once it's been approved by us, it would go to Nikki, so Nikki knew that we've all reviewed the application and she could put it on the agenda. What it's doing is it's an automatic routing, and we do a lot of the process. When we sign a document, we take it to Donna. Sometimes we forget to give it to Rick, but we're not supposed to forget to give it to Rick because he's in the auditor, and Helen may need to create an account, and she would need to know that. This application does the, it takes the scanned image that we already take and put a process to it so it automatically routes between offices. And the reason we're even bringing it up because of this is it's going to take some patience on the way we do business, but ultimately it would help a lot of the offices the way they flow paper. I ultimately could see the accounts payable being routed this way. And so we get away from that box, and that way we know that the commission has reviewed it. You know, we do the box now, but all those documents could be scanned in, and actually most of them should be scanned in anyway, if they're not.
I had a goal to try to get this implemented on the accounts payable this year, and when we started doing that, the scanner that we had a problem in format. We would have had to switch the format several times. So if we had the tabletop scanner, I believe that we could. My statutes only require me to keep the accounts payable for 1 year, so we could actually go through this process, and I wouldn't even have to once the bills, receipts are paid there and approved, they go to Donna, and I don't have to keep those at all. It would be easy for us to look those up. It really made a lot of sense for us to use it, but the desktop scanner is the only thing that was missing, if my understanding is. Is that correct?
Yes.
And a couple things. What we're asking for, I think it's about $1,500, mm-hmm. Which would get us 4 or 5 desktop scanners, depending on if we bid out the scanners and if we could get a better price than what the market is. We would put one on Joanna's desk, for example. Joanna has so much paper, it's not productive for her to stand up and scan one at a time, where a desktop scanner can work and scan at the same time. It's more productive. We're looking at, I think, 4 initially of those scanners.
I believe 4
at
initially.
Key areas.
Uh-huh.
Our copier, that scanner on there would work. So we could bring those documents, any document we wanted to route, you know, and Mr. Dixon, through his technology fund, is willing to pay for the product because it would help how he can write it, and the training part of his package. Now, his vendor is Missouri...
MDS, Missouri Document Solutions.
And that would be a sole source because they sold the original DocuWare product. They customized it to us. I mean, as much as you can customize a package, but it would be a sole source type of arrangement. So the application, I think, is about $3,500, something like that.
$4,000.
And then the training, which is more the sole source, would be about
$3,000.
So I think your total investment is about $7,000, which would get us all the things necessary to actually start the application. And then we would pick a couple offices, including the deeds office, just work out the kinks and how we flow, and you know, the electronic signature part of it. And the interesting thing, there's some great demos you can, if you wanted to know more how it works, that you can actually make notes on it on the document, said this doesn't look right, and it could reroute it back. There's a lot of ways that we could send a document back to Rick and say, Rick, look at this, and you could write a virtual post-it note on the document. I mean, just it's not that complicated, so that Rick knew what he's looking at and what's the problem of the invoice.
Might say that Gary Morgan is not feeling well today, but he thinks it would be a good product for the county. And I hate to talk to about what he thinks about it because he's not here. But it's going to take some training and some time, and we need to understand that. It's not going to be an automatic thing. When you're spending $3,000 for training, they're going to come here on site, and they're going to be going to the different offices. The offices that I think that it will help the most is the auditor, the clerk, the treasurer, and Road and Bridge.
And commission.
And the commission.
Yeah.
Were you needing a motion, Jim, for doing this? Or,
Just one more thing. I just want to point out one thing. Once a document is scanned in, it's time-stamped. And so one concern that people may have is, can you edit the document once it's been scanned in? And the answer is no, you can't. I mean, once it's been edited, if you edit it, everyone knows you'll have edited it. So there's no way to mask a change in there. Once a document's scanned, that document is just like a piece of paper. It cannot be changed because there's time stamps, there's scanning dates. I mean, there's so many precautions in this that the document itself cannot be changed once it's been scanned in. And that would be a concern of some people saying, all of a sudden we're starting to go this direction. And obviously Rick mentioned that statute hasn't caught up with technology yet, so we have to keep paper for so many times. But what it does is allow us to have paper, but we can actually be more productive pushing that paper through and keeping less of it. If I'm misspeaking, Melissa?
No, that's another thing is you can see it online.
Right.
If you get a call at home, which I know you guys don't get any, but if you guys were to get a call at home on a road petition, on any kind of a paper that you would normally have to come to the office to see, you could actually see that online. You could actually see it from your house.
And search old road petitions,
yes,
electronically. So we'd have to stop going to the file cabinets. We can just search it, find the document. A lot of times we don't care if we need the original. We just need to know if that document existed or not. And that would give us the... So I guess I don't even need a motion because the invoices will come through accounts payable. I just want agreement that we can spend up to $2,000 for additional hardware that... And they would be a desktop scanner, I think, in Road and Bridge, we talked about, because they don't have a scanner option with their copier. One in the auditor's office.
Linda, you didn't mention her.
She was a point, too. That was part of our discussion, too.
Yeah.
She would be a very important point for
us. And she doesn't have a scanner. I think that's one of them. And then the other one, I don't remember what department was, but we had talked about.
We have it written down, but I'm sorry I didn't bring that.
It's really the offices that create the paper. I call it endpoints, where like purchasing Road and Bridge, auditor all have our entry levels of where they bring the entry paper in. Treasurer most likely wouldn't need it because she doesn't create the invoices. She just makes sure our invoices paper. She usually just has to make sure she sees the appropriate approvals and it comes across her in a timely fashion. This theoretically should speed up all that we do, and we have less areas of papers falling through the cracks and we forgot to make a decision on it. So $2,000 is what I'm asking for, plus, you know, obviously we'll have to sole source the DocuWare application and the installation, and I don't know if we need a motion because that will come through anyway, but just an agreement.
If and one thing we have that has been a concern of mine is, and it's, I'm not trying to criticize anybody or anything like that, but when we go to looking back for property descriptions, contracts, titles, and of course that titles and things like that fall onto you, but contracts that we have with other people, these things could be pulled up immediately, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't have to go over there and look for a file and find out that it's maybe not missed, that it's not in the file and in another file or...
I'd like to point out that Donna has started putting contracts in the DocuWare system. She's just started that, I think.
It's going to be a cultural change. I mean, I'll be honest, but some of the things is like from a grant. You know, we talk about did we do an agreement with a grant writer before we filled out the grant. All those things can be grouped together. All these papers, you know, you could group all together as one file, and so we know everything that's related to that. And so the good thing is it would save time trying to find going through file cabinets, because we're buying file cabinets and taking up lots of paper space for years of stuff old that if we could just scan it in and put it on our hard drive, we have it. We don't need the original. We just need to be, find those papers.
Somebody's been storing a lot of that in my office, looks like.
We haven't been there a while, so we thought that was a good place. That's your paper.
Sounds like you covered it very well. The patience is just the time of training, and you got any sense? I mean, is this going to take a month or 6 months or what do you think?
I would probably think that to get all the offices probably, and this is a guess, I would say 3 months probably.
Yeah.
Because you have to train the people and they have to be familiar, and they're going to spend a lot, they will more than spend enough time here to get us trained, so I'm sure.
And then those funds that you were talking about
are coming from the Recorder's
account.
Technology Fund. And sure. that money has been increasing some, increases every month. The Recorder's Office has nothing that's not paid for. So we don't have any debt
right. In
the Recorder's Office. So that fund is available.
Good use of it.
I think it's good use for it. We also watched what they call a webinar. Several people in the IS department was down there, including myself, to see what the system could do for us, and it was an online conference. So we do have some firsthand information on what the system will do for us.
I think the only thing that came to mind was, Jim, you mentioned the there was concern about not being able to edit. Is that a small concern, or I don't know that I understand that part of it.
Well, anytime someone starts thinking, I guess the biggest concern, let's just say, for example, I know another county in the state has had this problem. Minutes go online, they become the commission meetings go online, and all of a sudden, if they're stored in, say, a Word document, you can edit that. This is basically a PDF. It's a scanned file. It's like a picture. You can't edit part of a picture, you know.
Right.
And that's the difference. This is an uneditable file structure, so that it's not like Word or Excel where someone going in there said change an I to a nay or an nay to an I. That would be a concern, and another county has had that happen to them, literally. So that's not this issue.
But if something like that happened, I mean, you still have a way of correcting it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Amend your minutes, if it was minutes or whatever
right. The
case. It just...
Somebody could try to pull a fast one, and something you didn't say, they edited it so it said something that it didn't really say.
Right.
And that would lead to being able to forge documents and change our documents, and we don't want our documents changed. If they're in writing and signed, you can't change them. If they're on this computer program, they're just like that. You can't change it without it showing when you edited it.
Bob, is there any reason not to make a motion to approve spending up to the $2,000?
Unless you don't want to spend the $2,000 if you think it's a bad idea, but I can't think of any legal reason not to do this. We're going to keep at least one copy of the paper copy at the clerk, says we're required to by statute.
Whatever
statute allows us to do
right. E-filing
instead.
Right.
Rick, have you thought what line we'd take this out of budget-wise?
It sounds to me like a contingency fund here. I mean, we didn't budget for it all. Unless, if there's plenty of, it is equipment. And
right.
I think there may be enough money in equipment. I think I might put it there.
Okay.
And then back
then
to
if
that.
The equipment did go over, let that be allowed for in a contingency.
Okay.
I think it's equipment right there.
I'd like to say a motion.
Right. Motion to allocate up to $2,000 for the DocuWare project.
Okay.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you again.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good presentation.
Excellent.
All right, let's see.
We have IDA update, recovery zone bond for parks posted at 10:30.
We're right on time. Anybody got that report?
On the IDA update?
Yes.
Ron Houseman, I think, is in Kansas City at the present time.
I know he's in Montana or somewhere.
Okay, he went to Kansas City to catch a plane to go to Montana.
But it's 6 o'clock this morning, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He sent me by email. It has to do with the recovery zone bonds, and I don't know if Jim knows. This is the email that he received from Attorney Carson Eliff and presented to Commissioner Pennell in answer to the Commissioner's questions Monday regarding recovery zone bonds. And it reads, if the bonds aren't issued by July 1st and the allocation is lost, I would need the terms for the bonds so I could work with the purchaser to draft the documents. Early in June would be the latest we would want to wait to begin with the drafting of the documents. The trick will be to place the bonds probably with a local bank so the terms can be negotiated. Number three, the allocation is the county's to use without notifying the Department of Economic Development of a specific project. This allocation is different from allocations that were received based upon the earlier reallocation procedure. However, the allocation is lost on July 1st without reapplying to DED for a new allocation. To be safe, we would want to notify DED of the county's plans to utilize the allocation as soon as possible. We can use the allocation or reapply for a new one. It is my understanding that these applications for new allocations must be submitted by July 1st. Number five, remember that the proceeds of the bonds have to be used to finance depreciable property. The best structure is for the county to own the property and the real estate upon which it is located and issue the bonds for county purposes pursuant to Chapter 49. And I probably should have asked the questions first.
Well, here's the question here. I have gone through everything I can think of. I don't find many projects that we can use the recovery zone bond on. I know we've talked about parks, but it can't be just, it's got to be a depreciable asset, so not real estate. I don't see where we have any projects that this would apply for. Secondly, I've had some conversation with some state department offices, and although this may be a small mark against our name that we because we didn't maximize the recovery zone bond, it's not that devastating to us. We are able to, if you think back, we were able to place over half of the what we got allocated to Arrowhead Building Supply. So that, you know, although it's a small mark, I'd rather turn down the bond versus trying to force something that would come back and actually hurt us worse than we are. I mean, I don't think we're going to be hurt at all by not placing it. You know, part of the concept that I had was go to the BKG airport and ask them if they wanted to build hangars because they have a hangar project coming up. Well, the land's technically ours, but the way they had the financing done, they can't change their financing to use these bonds. And so that was the only project I could find that possibly could apply. But when digging into it, it doesn't. The only other place would be if we wanted to do a sewer project, you know. But the sewer district owns the property, not the county. So I couldn't find any scenarios that we could use the bonds. And so that's my...
What about the payments that are made to the county for the airport hangar? Our hangar,
just keep in mind, this whole thing is for net new business, net new construction.
New construction.
Yeah, not existing refinancing.
That's the only thing that I could think of that was possible. What about the other hangar space down there where there's going to have to be massive remodeling? We haven't started that yet.
Well, we kind of didn't agree. We haven't budgeted any expenses. This is not free money. This is just basically zero interest money.
Yeah.
And I don't think we had budgeted any capital improvements on the airport itself. Once again, what I was trying to do is find any projects that we have budgeted over the next multiple months for county that were capital improvements, and I just haven't found any. I mean, even we could have tried to stretch this into equipment for road and bridge, but we don't have any. I don't even know if that would work. It's depreciable, but once again, I couldn't find it.
Well, what Jim? What about if there is a partnership between, and I guess that maybe gets where it's out of bounds. But what about the partnership between us and the city of Forsyth on the baseball fields and park area up there where they're going to have all kinds of utilities, concession stand, bathrooms, and all those kind of things.
The key part of this whole bond is that we have to own the property. And Forsyth, I think the mayor said he was very clear that he didn't want to give up any of the ownership of the property
right. Okay.
when he was here. So
I'm just trying to throw ideas out
here. And I've
gone
through this whole thing, and I couldn't find anything either.
It's not required that you make a decision today on this, is that correct?
Well, there's no decision. If we don't make a decision by July 1, it goes back anyway. We don't have to make a decision.
So if something came up in the next week that said, we can do that, you could make a decision
Absolutely. Then
to do something.
If the Parks Department said, hey, we're going to buy a bunch of bleachers, and we've decided we're going to buy them, and we know if we move the park, we're going to take the bleachers with us, but that's something we could use. If the park said we're going to buy $200,000 worth of bleachers or mobile buildings or something like that, yes. Because we know ultimately that we probably could get that through if they were going to do that. But other than that.
Jim, they're going to meet Thursday night, and I know that there's one issue that's going to come up before them, and they don't have any way of financing. The county has no way of financing. But the... I'm just going to state it. The Mincy Park has a Appaloosa, National Appaloosa Horse Show.
Show, okay.
And they also have two or three out-of-state horse shows that come into that facility down there. If they were rigged up a little bit different with bleachers and things like that, they could hold more events. It's not the size that we need for events.
But Mincy Park is owned by Taney County.
Is owned by Taney County.
So if they were planning to spend capital, their money on an improvement there, and it was not dirt, but if it was fencing, if it was bleachers, if it was concession, bathrooms, that would all apply, and I don't know if it all applied, but most of it should apply based off what I've read, and we could then do basically 0% interest funding for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going to come and talk, I think, to the park board about those situations. But I'm looking for something on a larger scale so that we don't have...
But we don't have anything today.
Nothing today.
And yeah. We don't have to make the decision today.
Okay, then that's fine. I just know that that's going to come up Thursday night, so
it's really a lot of things. It's capital improvements that are not land-related.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, and that's not a.
And it's still an expense. I mean, it's
not a
grant. They still got to pay for it. It's not a grant. It's not.
But it's better than borrowing money.
Yeah.
Through a traditional bank.
Right. So.
All right. Well, then we'll just leave it at that.
Shall we just ask the record to show that we did not find at this time anything to use that funding on recovery bond?
The next thing we have. We get a break, guys, 11 o'clock, but we do have some administrative.
Well, what about the executive?
Well, I wanted to take a break and read something over there. Just I didn't like something on it, but we could in just a few minutes here. Can we go into administrative, sir?
Yes, sir.
I met with one of the Forsyth Library people this morning early, and they would like our help. They're struggling with parking over there. They're saying that we've got a lot of county employees parking around the library, across the street, in front of the thrift store that they have. And they would like us to be a good neighbor, and I want to be a good neighbor. And what I proposed to them, they're going to the mayor and going to ask for parking meters. I think they said 2-hour limit parking meters is what they're going to request. And, as one commissioner, I'm not opposed to it, but once again, if the Forsyth's going to come to the commission, we'll talk about it. One thing I did suggest is that we could send out a friendly reminder email to all users that to use the county provided parking spots and try to be aware of our neighbors and not park in front of their place of business, and we could send it from the commission email address, so it's not one commissioner. Just want to know if your feedback on that. and maybe remind them, even if we wanted to provide a little map of where the parking is. We have the triangle parking, which we've added since then. When I did my study last year, we had 17 extra spots before we added those 20-plus spots down there. So we should have plenty of parking available. But would you guys be opposed to an email being sent out from the commission just to all users, just something very nice but reminding them?
This is an old issue. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say it that way, but it's been brought up before.
Right.
And it's in our, I think we have it in our personnel policy.
We do.
And it's, but as I think Bob's mentioned before, I mean, it's public parking. We can't forcibly, we can do what you're suggesting, Jim, and I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I don't know, it might be benefit of the library, which I'm, of course, a huge supporter of. I guess everybody is, surely. Mm-hmm. To, if they could talk to the people that's using that, our county employees that's using it, coming from the library might be of more benefit, but I'm certainly not against just reminding folks.
Okay.
But we've talked about it. We've had conversations in our elected official meetings when we had those years ago, and there's just some that mm-hmm. don't see that need or don't agree or whatever.
But, right.
It'd be a shame for the city or somebody to have to stick up parking meters and pay the cost of those. And
I understand.
It's not good for business to have parking meters, in my mind.
It's not.
Lots of good things. A lot of things.
It's not. Of course, I have a little bit of a different attitude about it. I appreciate and don't want to cause any problems with the library. I do know that when you talk about good neighbors, we stepped up several times to be good neighbors when the city needed help striping. We did all the striping for them.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, there's lots of things that we do for the city to try to help, and are actually going to do some more things when we talk about our lighting.
Right.
For county purposes, and I don't want anybody not to be able to park over close to the library, especially the elderly have a concern there. I think it would be a lot different discussion on my part if all the buildings on the other side of the street were occupied that are not occupied now.
Okay.
So I guess we could send out a request that they do that. But I had one person come in and complain about it, and their vehicle was sitting out there that was, actually it was a county employee that came in and complained about the parking there, and their vehicle was sitting out there. It's kind of different. If you guys want to send out a reminder to all employees that we do have a parking lot available and would appreciate the parking, that's fine.
Okay.
But I would like a letter sent also as a reminder that we have tried to be good neighbors, and even when we had our parking facility at the when we had our office down at the other location, mm-hmm. we had concerns with the market and other places down that direction about parking and county business that was being conducted in that area.
Right.
And so if you move it, if they approach the city, which I don't think the city would put up parking meters in the first place, but if you moved it, there would be someone abuse it anyway.
Right.
And when the city needed striping, asphalting, the additional parking that we have added, the city needed that not to go any further than that before we had the availability of their new parking, they had the same deal, except we just moved it farther down the street.
Judicial facility moving down the street has freed up a lot of space on most days.
Lots of space.
But I hear you all saying that you would be in favor of sending out a letter to employees encouraging them strongly to park in the county parking spots.
Gotcha.
The yep. county vehicles is ones that I definitely, you know, we purchased property in the little triangle back there. The actual county vehicles, I hate to see those. Now
they've been parked in the upper deck of the parking lot. I see them a whole lot more.
There is one in particular that's always parked on the street in front of the courthouse, and it has a county plate on it. And
let me tell you though, here's another thing. The day that they have a road and bridge meetings, and road and bridge trucks are sitting out there, I think those road and bridge trucks should sit in the triangle down there, because that is on a Tuesday, that is a court day, that is a day that those things can be. So we can make some adjustments without paying taxpayers that they need to park in a certain location. We can make adjustments with our own crews. I think
that's, if we just made some conscious efforts to make some changes like that, reminding Shop Talk people, hey, on Tuesdays, park down in the triangle.
Yeah.
That alone would probably solve some of the other issues we're dealing with.
And I think, you know, one day of the week can cause controversy for the whole week, because there's 4 to 6 road and bridge trucks parked on that location, and that's where we're getting the complaints at. So,
all right. Well, I'll send out a kind reminder email. And then there was an email that was sent to all three of us. I know we may not even get a break out of this. The RTU 10, we had a motion last Friday to do just everything but the coil. You guys, we've all received emails recently saying that we have a maintenance person who's recommending that the entire unit gets replaced, because even though the pictures may not show damage to the coil, he's confident there's damage to the coil, and if we don't do it now, it'll cost us more later.
And who wants it to happen on a 100-degree day?
Correct. And so the recommendations that's coming from this HVAC contractor is strictly going off of photos, and obviously sometimes you can't tell dimension in photos and get all the angles, but Renee just has asked for us to not so much reconsider, but she wanted to get that information to us, and so that we can say, do we want to replace the coiled unit also, or leave what our motion was, which was everything but the coil unit.
Jim, I seen in the minutes that, and I thought it was wrong. I didn't question it, but it was, it said you and Chuck were there and I was absent.
We did a phone in on Friday.
I don't remember what day, but yeah, it was
to take care of it, right?
To take care of anything but the coil, because Renee had came to us with an expert with an HV and said they don't need the coil replaced. And I said, well, based off that recommendation, we made a motion to fix it, except for the coil. Well, now one of the other people, not Renee and her department, are saying that coil is damaged and we need to replace it now, because it will cost us more to tear it back apart and put the coil back in versus just doing it all at one time.
I mean, you know that a new unit requires a crane, requires, remember how what we had to go through before, Chuck? We had to move it.
The coil unit may require the same thing. It comes in on a pallet and a flatbed, as I'm told. So
may not be any added expense by doing that. But what I was saying, let's just do it all, if we're going to do it all at one time, and if there is any question whatsoever. Have we had any AC people other than the one examine it?
According to the email, there was three.
According to the email, there's three companies looked at it.
Okay.
Our maintenance guy and three others that looked at it.
I would just say replace the whole thing. If gentlemen, I've been in on those situations where you go to troubleshooting something and you got a little problem that has caused problems down the line inside the unit.
Right. Chuck, wasn't that coil unit only about $4,000? Because the whole repair was, what, 12 or 13?
Four does ring a bell.
Nine was the other plus the coil.
Sure.
Nine was what it was going to cost us plus the coil. Am I right?
I thought 12 or 13 was the total number. I thought four something was the coil part, but I can probably make.
The only question I have for us to argue with our maintenance guy and three other guys doesn't make sense.
$4,700.
No, I'm not doing that. I hope you don't see it that way.
No, I didn't mean that at all. My point is the reason that on that telephone vote we had was my understanding from Renee was that the supplier is the manufacturer of the unit. Now, maybe I didn't understand that correctly, but
that was sole source or something.
Like it was a Chevrolet deal. It was
Chevrolet. You're right. It was the sole source.
It was Chevrolet that was saying you really don't need to change it.
Right.
And that's why I was not in favor of changing it, but we've got more information now from outside folks. The only question I have of not moving forward is, and this would be a good one for you, Danny, would be if Chevrolet built the unit, and they're selling us the part for the unit, and the unit shouldn't need service at this point. Maybe we say to Chevrolet, cut the cost in half or something. And I don't know whether it might be a wasted effort, but on the other hand, if all that information is correct, they should pay for the whole stinking thing, in my opinion. The older it is, probably because of the season, it probably crashed. Well, what I understand, probably crashed during warranty. Brand new building.
There's no warranty?
Warranty expired about 6 months after. Yeah. We found the problem about 6 months after the warranty expired.
And the deal is, the 6 months after you went through the winter season, and it's very possible that it crashed at the end of the summer. We just didn't know it.
Right.
Here's Renee. She can come clarify. Are you listening to us?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Tell us what we're not right on or what we are right on.
Well, I didn't get in on it all, Jack.
My last comments were, I thought I understood that the company that's selling us this unit that we're questioning is the manufacturer of the unit?
That it's the person who provided the unit.
So it's not the manufacturer
of the
unit?
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's just a little different. My thought was that since we've got strong suspicion that it may even happen in warranty, but because of the season, we didn't know it. The other thing is they ought to replace it. And the thought was, we want to go ahead and get it because, against your advice, we've had other advice that we trust. Cut us a break. Cut the price in half or whatever it is.
Right.
You know,
we need Danny to make that plea so that they take it. That was a little bit of sarcasm or humor.
Well, the thing of it is, it
needs to be said in a.
Well, I'm not the polite way to say it.
I wasn't going
to
say polite. I was going to say in a firm way or something like that.
But I think that this whole situation with that air conditioner unit goes back further than what we, as I went to Mr. Fix-It, you know, and you said he doesn't work there anymore, so Mr. Fix-It should have somebody that their company should feel some responsibility, because they made a change that we didn't even authorize and we ended up accepting.
Renee, on that same line, that big unit, Danny's thinking, I think he's right, you know for sure, did they pull that unit off when they had the flanges wrong or the collars? Were you part of that?
I was not part of that.
Okay. The thought was, if I'm hearing Danny
you
right,
that
in the taking that sucker on and off, that something may have got loosened or banged or something or other and caused it to fail early.
And Danny, who did that?
They, well, the name of the company, but Walton is the contractor that had the company put install it. And what happened was, is they had to pull another crane in and take the unit completely down and then replace the flange and then lift the unit back up and set it back on. The thing was already in placement. I'm not thinking, I'm not, we'd have to check back. Matter of fact, a phone call to John might be something that we'd want to try to do. I'm not sure that those things hadn't been test fired.
I'd, instead of John, and fine to call him, of course, but I'm thinking Mike with Septagon would be the one that'd know for double
that would be
Mike Smith.
I'll give Mike a call.
Give Mike a call, and I would check with John. The only reason would be that he would know if it had been test fired too. And, you know, if we, it comes up to a situation to where we say, look, you guys had this thing fired up, you took it down, you took it off its original place, set it on the ground, and redone the work, and then set it back up there, and the damage shouldn't take, a year should not be time enough for us to have to be replacing a total unit.
To go further, I'm going to say that we get our information with Mike, John, whatever, gather that up with Renee, and then one of the county commissioners make a phone call to this company.
Okay.
Instead of you calling them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And making a plea that, hey, this was not good service. And we're sure you want to provide good service.
Yeah.
I volunteered to do that, but Mr. Fix-It doesn't work there anymore, and I was going to make Mr. Fix-It do it.
And when you're saying John, you're meaning John Lavender?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so your mission is John Lavender, Mike Smith, and then get back with us, and we'll take our information, and somebody will make that phone call.
All right.
Is that all right?
Yep.
Good?
Good.
What's next?
That's the only things I had for, I think, administrative that I could find right now.
Did you want to go, you ready for minutes? We need to do those.
Can we get 3 minutes so I can get a cup of coffee?
Sure.
And then
3-minute recess.
Here's. 3-minute recess.